You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by our friends at Lutheran Federal Credit Union, and a friend in studio today from Lutheran Federal Credit Union to say hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Claire, right? Claire?
Correct.
You are the friend who helped me get set up on my account at Lutheran Federal.
That was me. I onboard all new members into the credit union.
And you were so patient with me as I was like trying to gather all my information and get started up. And you were so patient, but helped me do it. And it really was a painless process.
Yes. People just don't understand how easy it is.
It is.
And the online application takes less than 10 minutes. And again, we're just trying to get the word out to everyone that we are open and ready for them to open accounts.
Well, very good. Where do we find more information about Lutheran Federal Credit Union? What are some of the first things we need to know to get started?
All right. So you just need to go to LutheranFCU.org and click on Open Account. And it's just going to open up a friendly application that's, again, super easy. Again, takes less than 10 minutes. And then, yeah, we get you rolling as a member.
Claire, thanks so much for coming over this morning. Glad to have a couple minutes with you. And thanks for your partnership, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, and helping us, partnering with us to do what we've set out to do here, be the messenger of good news.
Yes, we love it.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks so much. Our guest this morning for the Daily Lectionary, Pastor Dwayne Schrader from Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Bethany, Oklahoma. Good morning, Pastor Schrader.
Good morning to you.
Glad to have you as our guest this morning. Tell us about your congregation, Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Bethany, Oklahoma.
Well, it's a small burbs congregation west of Oklahoma City. So, you know, where we're at is just right there in Oklahoma City. We have an older congregation, and we're trying to work into the community and work with some of our, you know, with missions and reaching others, even with little businesses around us. You know, YMCA, we kind of partner with a little bit. We have a school that we kind of partner with a little bit. And so we're just kind of out there trying to get God's word into the community, which is sometimes difficult, but sometimes, or lots of times, great joy in doing that. So that's a little bit about us.
Thanks be to God for Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Bethany, Oklahoma, the ministry there, and for all that, all the ways that you get to gather around God's word, bring that good news into the community. We are in Matthew chapter 18 today, verses 21 through 35, sometimes called the parable of the unforgiving servant. What would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this?
Well, when I prepared looking at this, I kind of rolled up to the 18th chapter, and just kind of looked at, glossed over some of those previous stories, and they're familiar stories. You know, the one at the very beginning, verse 1, it starts with, you know, who's the greatest? And there's this one with these headings that I'm seeing, temptation of sin. And I think the parable of the lost sheep and if a brother sins against you, I think if in preparation of studying these verses of 18, 21 to 35, if you get a look at these others and just get a general consensus, you'll see what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, what Jesus is trying to teach us. And I think there's a sin issue in dealing with all of these verses, these passages, these stories that are familiar. And then when it comes to our main one today, the parable unforgiving servant, of just thinking of what is Jesus teaching us today then about forgiveness. So I think that would be helpful to get a bigger picture, and then especially when we get into that parable of that king and that unforgiving servant. So,
all right, Matthew chapter 18. Verses 21 through 35 is what we're studying with Pastor Dwayne Schrader of the Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Bethany, Oklahoma. If you have a question or a comment, listener lines are open today, 314-821-0850 in St. Louis, or toll free in North America, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. You can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. Verse 21 of Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Ah. So Peter's asking, if my brother sins against me, how many times is this going to happen that I should forgive him?
Yes, he does. It just, when I looked at that, it's just like, well, Peter, it's obvious, isn't it? You know, haven't you heard what Jesus said before? You know, and who knows all the conversations between Jesus and Peter and the other disciples. But because of previous teachings, I think he wanted to clarify. And so he's asking the question, you know, how many times? What I understand the consensus is from previous teachers, the rabbis of that day, you know, three times was sufficient. Three times. Just forgive your brother three times and you'll be okay. And here Jesus is saying, you got to double that and more. You know, there's an unlimited time of forgiveness, amount of forgiveness. You know, you just, if someone sins against you, the expectation that God wants is us to forgive them. And that can be a hard thing. That can be a hard thing for people today, I believe, when we look at sin and how sin affects us, what sin does to us, if we believe in sin. And so now here Jesus is coming around, you know, with Peter, says, okay, my brother's sinning against me. Now I want you to know about forgiveness.
The number seven, you know, Peter says as many as seven times. Jesus says, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 or seven times seven. Is there anything significant about that? You know, why Peter says seven? Why Jesus says 77?
My thoughts of just with these biblical numbers, you know, is that unlimited stuff. So that when we look at the days of creation, or when we look at the number 40, or when we look at three, or for us to know exactly what Jesus is thinking there with 70 times 7, I don't think, you know, in your discussion with other people or mine, it doesn't mean, okay, just figure it out, do the math, and make sure, get your list down. Was it one? Is it 400? Are you done now? And I think the significance for us is that unlimited. There's no amount of when you should stop forgiving someone. I think his disciples and us, we need to hear that because of what we know with from the cross and looking back and knowing what from the cross forward, that we're going to run into a lot of people sin against us. How we then treat that sinner, the sinner we love, if you want to look at it that way too.
Anything else on verses 21 and 22, Pastor, before we go on and really dig into this parable?
I think let's go forward I have a few notes here too that may get us thinking, but this is a familiar, parable from my aspect anyway, and I think for many, and I think it's very memorable. Then if we get down to the nitty-gritty of what's going on here with this king and these servants. So let's continue.
All right, let's take a look at verses 23 through 27. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. So the parable begins, therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to... dot, dot, dot.
Our thoughts about the kingdom of heaven, our thoughts about the kingdom of God, this parable, this earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Some of the things that came to mind of when I looked at this and rereading it a number of times is when we are standing before our Lord on Judgment Day, or even we've recently went through a stewardship campaign, and I think some stewardship stuff comes to mind and how we should be good stewards in this kingdom we're living in now, so that you know, the kingdom of heaven will be known for by others. You know, that's this robbing hell and populating heaven kind of thing. But I think as we look at this, here's this king, and whether he suspects, you know, thinking of the earthly side, if he suspects something going on with this servant, and now if we put God in that king relationship, that role there, you know, we know that God knows. God knows what's going on in our lives. God knows how we're dealing with all that he entrusted with. God knows. But this is getting us thinking about, okay, I'm going to settle accounts here with you. Bring me the books. We're going to do an audit, and we're going to figure out what you owe me. What we owe God. What do we owe God? There might be questions out there if I can work and pay off my debt. I think that comes through here a little bit, but I might be jumping ahead. But I think with that aspect of that king, and in these first verses, we really don't know what kind of king we have. It isn't being described here, except that he has servants that are working for him that he trusts, and now here comes a man that owed him quite a bit of money, or didn't pay, include the king into this, what was owed to him kind of stuff.
When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. What kind of debt is this?
Oh, it's enormous. It's enormous. I didn't do the math or did write down, but, you know, thinking of millions of dollars. And basically, when I see this, it says, this is an impossible debt to be paid. If this was me and I had these 10,000 talents or this millions of dollars, even $1 million, and where, how, you know, the work I do on this earth, and, you know, how can I pay this back? How did I spend all that money? You know, it's easier to spend than maybe to earn sometimes, if you want to look at it that way. But it's just like, this is enormous, and this is an impossible debt to be paid back. That guy must have been sweating bullets when the king says, you know, here it is. What are you going to do about this? And he only had there was only one thing he could do. If he knew his king, did he know that he was merciful, or was he a hard king? And was he going to demand payment, or whatever the law said, or was he going to do something else? So. You know, looking at this parable and us, and putting us in that servant place, and thinking about all that God has given us, it may set us back a little bit if we really think about it, about the gifts we've been given versus, well, I expect God. You know, God's going to take care of me. You know, I don't have to. I just want to be happy, and that's all God wants me to be, is happy on this earth. And I was happy spending money. So,
and since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made.
Yeah, yeah. Going back to the sin thing, it just popped in my head. Just like, do you know how sin affects others? A lot of times, this day and age, it seems like, well, it's me and I sin, and it has only affected me. But from my perspective, and even looking at this, how this sin of mismanagement, of not using the money according to the king's or God's way of using the money, and how that affects so many people. Here it affected the family, but if we mismanage our gifts, how is it going to affect the environment? How is it going to affect my family, my church, my community, my neighbors? How is that? We are often, well, we're selfish people. We're so selfish. But then, you know, here's the law. This is the other side of this. The law said, and the master, the king, had the right. Says, you mess up, you can go to jail, along with. I talked to an individual once about, if you're in jail, how can you pay off the debt?
Right. How can you work to earn it off?
How can you pay off the debt? If what do they do? You're going to split rocks? Are you going to work with a chain gang? You're the whatever money, if there's any compensation in any way, or, you know, and then if you do get some monetary thing in jail, if, how long is it going to take to pay the debt off? And see, that's where that enormity, that this is impossible. This is impossible. And now he's got his family involved. Who do you love? That's another thing. Who do you love? And Sinwai says, I love me. I love me more. And then that's a little idolatry going on there. So anyway, yeah.
So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. Mm-hmm. Have patience. I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt.
Yeah. When you said, repeat it, I will pay you everything, dropped to his knees. That's the only thing he had going for him. He must have knew. Did he hear before, as he dealt with another servant, there was mercy shown, and hear this enormity, and he says, I'll pay you back. And then there's another sin of, is this guy lying? Does the king know he's lying? But he goes on, have pity on me, have pity on me. And, the king, the master, what did he do? Some of my thoughts, I wrote down a question about what's the characteristics of a forgiving person? And you might even look at your church, or what's the characteristics of a forgiving church? Because as we look at the whole and bringing it in now, God wants us to forgive. The Lord's Prayer brings that in. You know, forgive us our trespasses as you have forgiven us. There's expectations there from God. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, how are you going to love your neighbor? And why do you want to love your neighbor, even that sinning neighbor? And if that neighbor is sinning against you and you're loving them, how will that change them? And so there's this thing that's, you know, do you have pity on them, or do you just let the law do its thing? And I think the king, the master, looking at this, he could have let the law do his thing, because they deserved it. The sinner deserves punishment. And we do. But here now, what characteristics are there of a forgiving person, of a forgiving king, of a forgiving church? What characteristics do people see? So, and then we move on from there to, you know, this man is forgiven. You know, he's released. He's set free to now live a forgiven life. And what does he choose to do? What does he choose to do?
Well, that's what we'll cover in the next section.
Okay.
We need to take a quick break. We're studying with Pastor Dwayne Schrader, Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Bethany, Oklahoma. We are in Matthew chapter 18 today, verses 21 through 35. If you have a question or a comment, listener lines are open, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. We'll be back in just a moment.
Your retirement assets may make the best gift to Worldwide KFUO. Gifts from IRA or 401k funds will not be diminished by taxes. In fact, leaving these funds to your children may result in giving them less than half the funds you worked a lifetime to build. Call Mary at 314-996-1518. If you have questions about retirement plan gifting, we'll send a representative out to explain why a legacy of giving may benefit you as well as Worldwide KFUO.
This week on the Lutheran Hour, Pastor Gregory Seltz offers a new perspective on the life of faith. It's a race worth running, a fight worth fighting for the sake of others. We'll also discuss spiritual leadership using the language of baseball and hear why God didn't wait for us to be good before he loved us. That's this week on the Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Dwayne Schrader of the Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Bethany, Oklahoma. I almost said Bethany Lutheran Church in Our Savior, Oklahoma, but that's kind of backwards. Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Bethany, Oklahoma, in Matthew chapter 18. Pastor, anything else up through verse 27 before we go on to 28 and following?
Now, I just remind listeners that the characteristic thing of a forgiving person, forgiving master, versus now being forgiven. Because I think this whole passage, you know, it's forgiveness is written all over it, you know, and what God wants us to do, what God wants his disciples to do, when they're on their own. And, of course, they were never on their own, thinking of the Holy Spirit. But we sometimes feel, okay, here I am in this world, and I'm all alone. And we just need these reminders, like this Bible study today, that, you know, the Master's there. Jesus is there with his, and he's teaching us. And then that's the thing of, now, what are we learning? And going on to the next verse, you know, I think we're slow to learn, and that's why we need these daily, these constant reminders of how we are to live for our Lord and Savior, for our God.
But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart.
Yeah.
So that same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him, and seized him, choked him, saying, pay what you owe.
Yeah. And when you're reading this, the thing is, that come to my mind is people are watching. People are watching you. And, you know, wrapping around this whole thing about Christians, and do you say you're a Christian? Do you say you're a follower of Jesus? You know, what does that all mean? Are they just empty words? I use the phrase with people about being head nodders. You know, sometimes in church we just nod our heads in approval. In this thing, when we nod our heads, you know, somebody says the right answer. They know the answer, but then to live it. Here, this forgiven servant that had this debt that could not be paid back was set free to live his forgiven life. And when what he does is, it's not what we should do as forgiven people. He was still thinking about the debt. He was still thinking about the money. If had that love for money, you know, that sin. It's not, money's not the problem. It's that love for money. It's that lifestyle. And here he goes out to this servant who owed him a $10 bill, if that. And he says, you know, give it to me now. And it's the same words he pleaded. Have patience. I'll pay you back. And this servant had the law on his side, too. If you can't pay, you're going to jail. And that's what he chose to do. You know, repeating myself about characteristics of a forgiving person, you know, what characteristics did the king, the master have? What characteristics are there of a forgiven person? We are forgiven. Christ died on the cross for us. His blood was shed for us. Going with sin and forgiveness, sin, we know we from scripture readings and our studies, sin demands a punishment. And then you look back at, okay, that merciful King, that merciful God, that God who took pity on us. And so he says, the law says, and I'm going to punish my son, Jesus Christ, instead of me, this servant of mine who is loved and who is entrusted, who is mismanaging. I'm going to punish my son instead of him. And so, you know, we got, I'm sure glad it's him and not me, kind of thought. And we should take a whole nother thought about, you know, how much God loves us. And that peace now that my life is set free to live forgiven and to understand what forgiven means, you know, just, it's not just, you got off. You got off the... now you can just continue to live as you want to live, but now you are forgiven. You're in a restored relationship. You're holy. You're that child of God that can be with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, and just that whole lifestyle. Just to think that, it should just set us back. The whole world should just sit back and say, "My, you know, what am I worried about? Why am I so concerned about these things in my life that are troubling, these worldly concerns, these worldly things that tempt me and entice me?" And I often am just so attached to the world that I forget who God is. But to think now that says, why am I thinking that way when I have such a loving God that sent his son to die for me? The servant punished a fellow servant. Not a characteristics of a forgiven person. The characteristics of a forgiven person is to show mercy, to have pity, to say, I forgive you your debt. Now go and live so that others will be in the kingdom of heaven. People are watching. People are watching. They're watching us.
So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. Yeah, when I read this before, I thought, well, how is he going to pay the debt if he's in prison? There's nothing he can do to earn money to pay down the debt.
Yeah. That is so true, you know. So So in that thing is, what can I do? Thinking of this parable now, earthly story, heavenly meaning, what can I do to pay the debt that I owe the king? I owe this servant. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do except now to, you know, other, what kind of, what's the characteristics of this merciful king is to say, he's wiped my slate clean. I have no debt, but he did it. I did nothing. He did it all. And that's that other aspect of, you know, being forgiven is, you know, God isn't going to bring up, we should not bring up the sin again. You know, on this, in this world, it may be hard to forget what somebody did for you, and that is true. It's very hard to forget what someone did to you, how someone mismanaged the what you were entrusted with. But, you know, with the Holy Spirit, with God, you know, guiding, leading, enlightening, this whole thing of where that sin is taken care of. It's done. It's gone. And now live as a child of God, free, forgiven, holy, blameless in God's eyes. We have this duality going on in, you know, this Satan sinner thing on this earth. But we need every once in a while to just to look at that God side. Not that we should just live, now that I'm set free, I can live as I want to live. No, we live to give God the glory, and to know and to tell other people who our God is. Scripture, that's one thing with our church, is let Scripture interpret Scripture. There's many words elsewhere besides this parable that describes how merciful our God is. I just opened up to, and it says in Psalm 130. That's a good psalm to read about how what kind of God we have. It says, "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared, feared, and more so this side of loved and awed." And to, you know, let people know how loving of God is, when so many people today may say, you know, my God is not doing anything for me. My family's falling apart. My job, I don't know if I'm going to have it tomorrow. My health is dwindling. You know, what is God doing about that? And all we have to do is stand back and in our devoting, in our reading of God's word, in our praying, just to say, you know, I deserve all this, but you give me so much more. And that's where my hope lies in God. My soul waits for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord. Can we be patient? I don't know, for that day when we stand before God and just say, wow, God, I'm with you. I'm with you.
We have just about a minute and a half, Pastor, to look at these last few verses. The fellow servants saw what had taken place, were greatly distressed, reported to their master all that had taken place. Yep. His master summoned him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" In his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Yeah. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart."
Yeah. Would God do that? That was a question brought up to me once. You know, would God put you in such a terrible position, a place like prison, or, you know, just because you messed up a little bit? Maybe if you messed up a lot, you know, you might have understanding from our human view, but would God do that? What kind of a God do we have? And he's we have to look at, he's fair, he's just, and he's right, he's wise. And he's making a big point here. Okay, this is what happened. this is what I did for my servant who owed me a lot. This is what you did when somebody just owed you a little. And people are watching you. How are you dealing with that sin? And not just to be in a head nodder, I brought, you know, in a deal with the sin that got very personal. And I mean, in these topics of the world that people are really taking a stand on, you know, and if it affects a loved one, and because of forgiveness, you know, we have to address the sin. We should address the sin in a loving way. And in this forgiveness, forgive them, but you don't want them to continue to sin. We should not want somebody to continue to sin. Here, I think the king says, you know, you went on and sinned. Not that he doesn't love him anymore, but he's making a point. He's making a point to us. He says, forgive as you have been forgiven. This is your lifestyle. Love those. Don't say sin is okay. You know, just live the way you want to live, because sin is not okay. But we have a God who is merciful, who is loving, who is kind, compassionate, who is fair, and he is all-knowing. And he's going to do what is right and necessary. And that will happen on the last day when we stand. He will do as he has always has said all along, you know, if you want to say a promise, those who believe in Jesus Christ will be saved. Those who have turned their back, who have turned their back on God and don't want to have anything to do with God at all, their eternity is going to be, you know, more severe, hellfire, brimstone, suffering, pain. We sin when we are not forgiving. That can be, you know, slap in the face a little bit too. But that's what God expects of us.
Thanks be to God for his mercy in Jesus Christ as he gives us that forgiveness. May we so too share it. Our guest today, Pastor Dwayne Schrader of the Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Bethany, Oklahoma. Pastor Schrader, thanks for being our guest today, helping us study in Matthew chapter 18.
Well, thank you for the time.
God bless.
God's blessings in your studies.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints there too.